You can take your Bibles tonight, and we're going to start at the beginning in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. We're going to read the Bible tonight, the whole thing. I've entitled tonight's teaching, It's Because of God. We're going to look at kind of how we're dependent upon God, like everything that we have and know and do, and it's all because of God. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, it says, In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That means that God created everything, right? He created everything. He created plants and animals, and he created mountains and rivers and oceans. He created the entire universe, including people. If it were not for God, then you and I wouldn't exist, right? We wouldn't be here. God made us. So if this was an episode of Law and Order, this would be all I had to teach, right? Case closed. God created everything. It's because of God. What more proof do you need other than he created everything, right? But we'll have to look at some other stuff that God did. Go to chapter 14, verse 22. Genesis 14, 22, it said, And Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have lift up mine hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth. So God is quite literally the owner of the entire universe, right? Of heaven and earth. It's God's. He's the one who made it for us, right? For his people. So, everything that we have is because of God. Go to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17, verse 22. Acts 17, verse 22. So the context here is Paul speaking to the Greeks. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious. So Paul is speaking to the Greek intellectuals and philosophers here, right? These are the guys that would sit around all day and ponder the universe. And why are we here? What does it all mean? Where do we come from? What's our purpose? So Paul is talking to them. Verse 23, For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, To the unknown God. Right? And in the previous verses, it talks about some of the other things that he saw, right? That these were people that had gods for everything, right? They had gods of the weather, and gods of the ocean, and gods of the sky, and gods of fertility, and gods of prosperity. So, as he's looking all of those different devotions, those different gods, he comes across an altar to the unknown God. So they're trying to cover their bases and account for every possible scenario, right? I'm sure there's a God we haven't even thought of yet. So he finishes by saying, Whom therefore you ignorantly worship, Him declare I unto you. So he's saying, you know, this unknown God that you're talking about, let me tell you about him. Verse 24, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Right? Because they made these little altars and shrines to all their gods. But that's not where the true God lives. Neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, right? As if God needed something that you could build him. Seeing he gives to all life and breath and all things, and has made of one blood, meaning from one man all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth. And he has determined the times before appointed. And that's a fancy phrase for saying he has given them the seasons. Right? The time. Literally time itself. God created. And the bounds of their habitation. Right? God made all mankind. He made the times and the seasons. What's your favorite season? Right? God made that. He made us on all the bounds within which we live. Verse 27. That they should do what? Seek the Lord. He did it for us. If happily, or happily, not happily, that's like smiling. If happily, which means by chance, they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us, right? So God created all this so that people would just look for him. You know, as one just kind of groping out and hoping to find something. Even though God's not far from any one of us. Verse 28. For in him we live and move and have our what? Being. Man, that's deep, right? These guys would sit around and talk about what does it all mean? Why are we here? What's our purpose? You know, what's good? What's evil? What's this? What's that? I took philosophy in college for one of my credits. It's hilarious. But I mean, this is what they pontificated over. And he's saying, for in God, God is the reason that we live, that we move, that we have our own being, right? If you laugh, if you cry, if you smile, if you dance, if you love, if you smell good or bad, it's because of God, right? We're here because of God. Everything that we get to enjoy or do is because of God. And that's what he's saying. As certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Right? Right? We come from God. We owe it all to God. Go to Colossians chapter 2, verse 16. So those guys would sit around, bless you, and ask, why are we here? What's our purpose? And Paul told them, God created everything for you so that you could have a relationship with him, so that you would look for God and seek him out and have a relationship with him. Colossians 2:16. If we do anything, it's because of God. Colossians 2:16. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or of the new moon or the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come. I think I'm in the wrong spot. That is not what I want. Oh, yes, I want chapter 1. Sorry, guys. Colossians 1:16. That makes more sense now. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things. And that before is like in order of importance, right? What it means is he is superior to all things. And by him, all things consist. So God is superior to all things, and it's because of him that all things consist. And the word consist is like to cohere or to stick together, right? We have our word consistency from that. What's the consistency of something? So it's by God that everything sticks together, that everything exists. The laws, the very laws of nature are God's doing, right? The fact that when we go outside, we don't float away into the air is because God created gravity. The reason that, like, you know, we start running down the street and don't just keep going is because of friction. Like, God put all of that stuff in place so that we could have meaningful lives here, right? He created time. He created everything that you see out in the universe, but he did it all for us. Go to Romans chapter 4. It's because of God that all of those laws exist. Right? And it's crazy to think about all the people, the scientists who do all this work studying these things and proving these things out. You know, mathematical formulas that help everybody calculate how things work, but it's because of God, right? They think they're discovering all of these things and how does it get here, but they miss the big picture of, well, God put it here, right? And the reason it works the way it works is because God's not sloppy, right? What he makes is perfect. So when he put gravity here, it's to keep us on the ground, right? That's why. He did it for us. I think it's awesome that scientists can figure that stuff out too, right? That scientists can, you know, understand how it works and that it is so exact and is so perfect, because how else would God have made it, right? How else would God have made it except that it be perfect? Romans chapter 4, verse 1. What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, has found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. Which is basically saying, if Abraham were justified by what he did, his works, he'd have reason to glory, but it wouldn't be before God, because he would have done it himself. But that's not the case. Verse 3, for what says the Scripture? What does the Scripture say? What does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for what? For righteousness. For righteousness. So the lead-up verses are sort of saying, yeah, Abraham was a great guy, but he didn't do it himself, right? He didn't do it himself. The Scriptures say that Abraham believed God, and that's what was counted to him for righteousness. So when we believe God, we are acknowledging our own dependence on him, right? When we believe God, we acknowledge our own dependence on God. Believing is the correct way to live, right? We can try to do it ourselves, but then we're dependent on who? Ourselves, right? So when we believe, we acknowledge our dependence upon God. We're saying, I believe God's going to do it. I believe he's going to take care of it. It's not me doing it. It's God doing it, right? And it's because of God that we have what we have. And it's because of God that we can operate the power that we can operate. Verse 13. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world, that was what was promised to Abraham, was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Right? That promise was made to him because he believed. For if they which are of the law be heirs, then believing is made void, and the promise made of none effect, because the law works wrath. For where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore, it is of faith, or believing, that it might be by what? Grace. To the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. And it's by God's grace, by his grace, that Holy Spirit is available to all who believe, right? It's because of God and because of his grace that we have the opportunity to be born again, right? We couldn't work out our own salvation with works. The law is not what was going to provide salvation for us. The law is works, right? Do this, do that, don't do this, don't do that. Right? It's the grace and the believing that God made available to us, that we can believe, that gets us saved. Chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace with God by whom also we have access by believing into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And verse 2 says that we have access by believing into this grace where we stand. The word stand is another word for a habitation, a dwelling place, right? That grace is where we stand, where we exist, where we live, is in God's grace, right? We live in God's grace. That's our habitation. Our dwelling place is in that grace of God. That's where we get to live. And 2 Timothy 2:1, we won't go there, but it says to be strong in that grace, right? To be strong in that grace. So that grace gives us strength. Go to John chapter 5, verse 16. So it is because of God. We couldn't work it out ourselves. But we believe God. We believe Romans 10, 9 and 10. And by the grace of God, we're born again. We're saved. John 5:16. 5:16. Therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. But Jesus answered them, "My Father worketh hitherto," or until now, "and I work." Therefore, the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but he said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do everything God does, can do half of what God does." No, it says the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. So even Jesus Christ did nothing without God's help, right? He was just as dependent upon God as you and me. And he was the only Son of God, right? But he still depended upon God, right? He still needed to get his information from God. He still needed God to show him what was available and when to act out on it, right? Jesus Christ had to rely on God. It was because of God. So we might not be perfect, but we still depend on God just like he did. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians 2:10. And that's kind of cool, right? To think about. Sometimes you think about, well, Jesus Christ did all this amazing stuff. Man, he was just as reliant on God as you and I are. Christ in us. Ephesians 2, verse 10. For we are his workmanship, his masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should what? Walk in them. Like Jesus, the good things that you and I do are prepared by God. Right? Isn't that cool? God has already ordained the good things that we're going to do. Right? He called us to be his kids because he knew we would believe. And he knew that we would do his word. And therefore, do great things. That's pretty cool to think about. Right? That helps us to really cement and believe that we can do it. It's because of God, but all we got to do is believe. Go to 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4. 'So if you ever think, I'm not good enough, I can't do it, Jesus Christ couldn't do it without God. Right? So what are you? How are you ever going to be better than that? Might as well just believe. 1 Corinthians 12:4. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. and there are diversities of operations. But it is the same God which worketh all in all. Right? God is the power source behind all of it. He is the power source behind all of it. Right? Whatever we do, it's because of God. There are diversities, right? There are diversities of operations. Different people operate Holy Spirit in different ways. The miracle I work is not the miracle you work, but God is the power source behind all of it, right? He's the power source behind all of it. It's because of God. We just have to believe. Go to Acts 16. So as we begin to understand our dependence upon God, it's actually freeing. Right? We don't have to do it ourselves. We don't have to figure it out ourselves. God is the power source. Acts 16:13. And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside, where prayer was wont or known to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted there. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple, of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things that were spoken of God.
Yeah.
Did God speak it? No, Paul did. But who opened her heart? God did. That's right. God opens people's hearts. We do the speaking, but God opens people's hearts. Right? It's because of God. Who called us from before the foundations of the world? God. He opens hearts. Go to 1 Corinthians 3, verse 4. Right? So it's God who does it. It's because of God. So we get to be teammates with God, right? We get to be fellow laborers with Him. It's because of God that we have what we have. We get to work with Him. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 4. For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another says, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? Isn't that a carnal way of thinking? Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? But ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. Right? It's because of God. God gave it. These guys are just people who spoke the word, people who ministered. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Right? It's because of God. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that gives the increase. Right? We're not the result of any man, no matter how influential or how powerful or cool they are, right? We're not here because of anything any one person did. It's God who gives the increase. It's God. Go to 2 Corinthians 5, verse 18. Right? 2 Corinthians 5, 18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. It's God who reconciles. He's given us the ministry of it, to tell people about it, but it's God who reconciles. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, not beating them up because of the bad things they did, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you, in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. For he has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of Paul in him. No, it's the righteousness of God. Right? It's the righteousness of God. God does the reconciling. It's God's righteousness that we have. It's because of God. Right? Paul did great things. He moved the word so that people could do what? Believe. But it's that believing that activates all that power that God has available. It's because of God. Go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18. So here's the cool part. None of that was cool, guys. Here's the cool part. Ephesians 2:18. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. This God who created everything, the God that's our power source, the God that because of him we can laugh and smell good and dance and all that good stuff. The God who we depend upon, we have access to him, right? We have access to him, to that God. It's not like he did all this stuff and then went and hide, right? We have access to him. We want to talk to him, we can talk to him. We want to ask him for something, he's listening, right? We need a shoulder to cry on, there's God. We have access to God, whose grace and righteousness are ours. Because we believed, we have access to him. What love that he had for us. To give us all this stuff and then to stick around and want a relationship with us. Verse 4, we close here in verse 4, chapter 2, verse 4. It's because of God. He loves us so much. So much. Ephesians 2, 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, because it's just by believing. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That, this is why. The word that means here's why. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. It's all because of God. He loves us so much. And in the ages to come, which means stuff we have yet to still experience, he will forever be showing us his kindness and his grace. Isn't that awesome? That God called you and me to be a part of this family just so he could forever be kind to us. Amazing to think about. So it's all because of God. And all we have to do is believe.